Today, if you talk about the subject of American exceptionalism, it seems as if many commentators and professors would actually take exception to that idea. In fact, some of them even take exception to America. The idea that America is unique certainly doesn't bode well with them. But there's an author named Michael Wilkerson who's written a new book called Why America Matters, The Case for a New Exceptionalism. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Michael Wilkerson joins us right now. Michael, good to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Jerry, great to be with you.
Okay, first of all, a little bit about your background. You have quite a bit of background in terms of business and so forth. And what motivated you to even write about the subject of American exceptionalism?
You know, Jerry, thanks for the question. I think from my perspective, it was less about the exceptionalism and more about America herself. Someone asked me, did you write a political book and why? And I said, no. I wrote a romance. I wrote a love story about the nation, the only place that I have to call home. And it incorporates politics, of course. It incorporates history. But it really is, for me, it came out of a heart's desire to really address the very issue that you raised, that you just mentioned, which is that today the idea that America is unique, that it has something to offer the world, is passé. No, people don't want to talk about it, including our own government, our own leadership takes a different view and a dim view. So this was really, for me, an opportunity. It was a labor, hard work, but it was a labor of love to express and to remind myself and fellow Americans about this great nation that is America.
Can you walk us through the major content in the book? For example, the table of contents. I mean, how is the book structured?
Sure, happy to do it. You know, I started the book by just doing a brief reprise on the last couple of years. You know, America, we've gone through an extraordinary period of time of just a bunch of turmoil, a lot of circumstances that were beyond our control and our understanding. And so I start off, I open the book by talking about the idea of American exceptionalism, the idea that was expressed first by President Kennedy, John Kennedy, when he said, you know, that America can be this city on a hill, a shining example to the rest of the world. Now, of course, that is not something that Kennedy invented, but was, you know, a word that Jesus used to describe the glorious church and the influence that it could have on the rest of the world. But it also was used in a letter by John Winthrop, who was one of the leaders of the group of Puritans that came over from England, and he described this great experiment of about moving to a new land to really try to establish a place for religious freedom, to be free from religious tyranny, to be free from political tyranny. And of course, he had no idea what they were actually creating, but they had this idea that America was going to be a place, a new Israel of sorts, where the ideas of liberty, the ideas of religious freedom could begin. You know, I then go on to talk about, I identify that I believe that we as Americans in America are in four different crises right now. One is the crisis of circumstances, whether it be the combination of pandemic, inflation, increasing challenge with a rising China war, all of the issues that we're facing around us, which are really have come at us like a fire hose over the last couple of years. Two, the crisis of identity, that Americans no longer know who they are. There's a lot of confusion today about our own history, about what it means to be an American. Why does it matter? And you can almost divide this into two groups, an older generation, perhaps yours and mine, who at one point in time may have learned this, may have known it, but somehow through neglect or just not paying attention have forgotten it. Second audience, second group would be the younger generation, where frankly they're just simply not being told. And what they are being told is not the truth about the past, about the history of this nation, about the ideas that underline it. I then talked about the crisis of institutions, that we're in this unfortunate place where our federal institutions, the three-letter agencies, et cetera, no longer trust us, and we no longer trust them. And that is a very difficult and unpleasant place to be. And all of those crises lead to the fourth, which is a crisis of engagement, that we're confused about how to respond, how to engage in healthy policies domestically, whether it be energy policy, whether it be immigration policy, or how to deal internationally, foreign policy, as you see the confusion around the withdrawal from Afghanistan, the confusion around how the U.S. is engaging with the Ukraine conflict, with China, et cetera. So maybe I'll pause there if there's questions. But basically, then from there, I really go into the evolution of this idea of what is American exceptionalism, how did it come to pass, what does it mean, and talk about the foundational ideals of the country, equality, liberty, the idea that citizens were the power, that it wasn't a monarch who would decide, but it was the government of the people, by the people, and for the people, and how radical that was in the context of history. And then I spend a good portion of the book talking about what are the challenges to these ideas. Why is it that Americans have forgotten? Why is it that we seem to have lost a sense of American greatness, of America's role in the world? And, you know, this has both an ideological aspect to it in terms of other ideas coming in, explicitly trying to undermine those very ideals, whether it be, you know, communism or any other form of utopia as it's been expressed. And I spent a little bit of time really focusing then on the last 20 years or so. What happened with the turning of the millennium after the fall of the Berlin Wall, Tiananmen Square massacre, all these things that went on, and the shifting role of the U.S. That the U.S. played over the following decades. And then what I call the progressive hijacking, this concept that with the current administration, even the Democratic Party has been hijacked by the extreme left, the radical progressive left, that seeks nothing more than to undermine the very ideas of America, undermine its independence, its energy security through the Green New Deal and other things, undermine the citizens of this country through massive illegal immigration, and try to help Americans who may have been either asleep or unaware to understand what's going on, and for those who are aware but disheartened, to encourage them. One of the things that I think you'll find in this book is ultimately, while I'm not afraid to talk about the problems, it's a positive, it's an optimistic book, because I do believe in the idea of American renewal. I do believe that we're in all of these crazy things that are going on around us right now is actually a moment, an opportunity for Americans to wake up, to get engaged, to get involved. And some of the things that we've seen in the last few months, such as parents getting much more actively involved in what's going on in their schools and children's curriculum, showing up at school board meetings, contesting some of the crazy gender identity politics things that are going on around us, is actually a positive sign. Through the turmoil, Americans are waking up, getting involved, and this is what gives me hope for the future of this country.
You know, it's interesting that Abraham Lincoln in the Gettysburg Address, surely one of the top 10 speeches in American history, he used a great phrase that reminds me of what you just said a few moments ago about how you do have hope. The phrase was how America needs a new birth of freedom under God. And, you know, that this yeah. nation under God may experience a new birth of freedom. Those are some great phrases. That's kind of what we need right now. Wouldn't you agree?
You know, when you think, yes, absolutely. And when you look at what President Lincoln went through, what the nation went through, the crisis of the Civil War, one of the great discoveries as I was writing this book was to learn about this gentleman named Frederick Douglass, who was an escaped slave, turned orator, became a leader in the abolitionist movement, but at his heart grew to love the country that initially didn't even treat him as a person, as a human being. And he and President Lincoln actually became friends and close acquaintances, because they realized, despite all the other reasons that people had articulated for the Civil War, that the mission of the war was to end slavery and thereby uphold the values that had been enshrined in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, but never lived out because of this intractable issue of slavery within our nation. So what Lincoln was pointing to, this idea of a rebirth, of a need to have a starting over, while we're not in a crisis comparable to the Civil War, we're at a similar moment where we actually need not just a slight tinkering on the margin, but we need a new birth of sorts ourselves. We need an American exceptionalism that's geared for the 21st century, not the 19th century, not the 20th, but that's prepared to take on the new challenges of this era, which, as I mentioned, include foreign adversaries, being able to deal with a rising China, being able to deal with alliances of countries that are hostile to American interests, but also the threat from within, the domestic challenge of a number of people who don't believe in the American ideal, who don't believe in these principles, and are actively working to undermine them. So we have a conflict of our own here in the 21st century.
It seems almost as if some of these people that you just described, the ones who are undermining America and so forth from within, it seems as if some of them perhaps they think, well, what we need to do is tear it all down, destroy it, and then we'll rebuild it, you know, along the lines of a Marxist utopia, which is actually a good phrase, Marxist utopia, because technically utopia means no place. It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
There's no place on the planet where anybody can show you and say, oh, this is where the Marxists took over and it worked out well for the people there.
You hit on a really important point, and whether it was Marx who came up with it or his followers later, but this idea, what they call the immiseration thesis, which comes the word miserable, the idea being that in order for us to usher in this great utopia, things have got to get bad, worse and worse, until things are absolutely terrible, and the people just see this as the only way out. And there is a link here, I think, to some of the policies that are going on in this country, with increasing government control, the inflation that's out of control in our country, despite what the leaders are saying, and this idea that somehow it's just, if we could just make it bad enough, that people will see that our solution, a solution of government control, of a one-party state, of just shut up and do what we say, is the only way out. But that's a very un-American approach and a very un-American ideal. And I pray that enough Americans will stand up to resist it, that we can stem that tide.
One of the ironies is that you've got, on the one hand, you've got a lot of people from within America that are just basically constantly, you know, tearing down our history, basically saying that America not only was bad, but it always was bad. It's bad in its DNA. But on the other hand, you have millions of wannabe Americans who are at the southern border just trying to rush through, you know, as much as they can.
Because a lot of people around the world know the truth, and they're not subject to these ideologies. You know, some of the most loyal and patriotic people in America today, you know, I live in Florida now, I see talk to a lot of people who have come from other parts of the world, Eastern Europe, Cuba, Venezuela, other parts of Latin America, where they've seen the effects of communism. They've seen the effects of these policies. They understand what freedom costs and what is required to maintain it. And I think, frankly, a lot of Americans have gotten lazy. We've forgotten these things. It's not just millions. It is hundreds of millions or billions of people who still look up to America, still look up to the freedoms that are represented here. And I say it in the book, this is one of the reasons why America still matters. The freedom of the world, people around the world, depends on America remaining strong and standing up for these principles against increasingly powerful and illiberal totalitarian regimes, just like we see happening in China and elsewhere.
We have about 1 minute left. Feel free to give your website for the book. And also, do you see a spiritual birth as really kind of, that's one of the things that's needed, revival?
Yeah, thanks. So first of all, your first point, Why America Matters is the book. Whyamericamatters.com is the website. You can also find it on Amazon, hardcovers, paperback, digital formats, other digital formats on Apple and Google as well. What I would say is absolutely. So one of the threads that just is clear throughout this book and the history of this country is the role, the extraordinary role that God and religion played in our history. It's true that the pre-colonial era through the Civil War and otherwise, that the importance of religion, the importance of a morality based on a faith in God, was what enabled our republic to succeed, what enabled this democracy to work. And it explains why it's so under threat today. We're at our lowest level of religious belief. Today's Democratic Party is essentially the party of secularism, yeah, where they see no place for God, no place for religion. And absolutely, there's a correlation here between the declining role of faith, of religion, of morality in public life, and some of the challenges we're facing. And one of the things I push for in this book is a reawakening, a spiritual reawakening, a return to understanding the role that God played in our nation and the role he wants to play in our lives.
All right, Michael, thank you so much for joining us. WhyAmericaMatters.com for more information. Thanks. All the best.
Great to be with you. Thank you.